deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages from the book of Exodus. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
And that's how it is here. Moses was doing what God had told him to do, but the people was grumbling against Moses, but they didn't really realize they was really grumbling against God. All right. And what do you do when folks start grumbling? You do what Moses did. Verse number 4. So Moses cried out to the Lord. If you ever want to see a man of prayer, study the life of Moses. And most of the time when Moses got in trouble and people started grumbling, Moses normally done one thing. He hit the deck. He got on his knees and started praying. And that's a good model. That's a good model. Even as you go back, you can go back and study even with Pharaoh. Even when you come to folks like Pharaoh and folks start trying to argue with you, don't spend time arguing with people. All that's going to do is just stress you out, run your blood pressure up, give you a nervous breakdown. Do you know the worst problems you can have? The worst problem you can have is not financial problems. The worst problem you can have is people problem. Yeah, that's the worst problem. Dealing with another mind? Man, that's the hardest thing in the world to try to change another mind. Ooh! Whether it's a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, it don't matter. I'm talking about just another mind. How many of you got teenagers? Man, y'all know what I'm talking about. I rest my case. Amen. Moses prays to God, and God answers Moses' prayer, and he quenched the people's thirst. Look here in the text. The Bible says in verse number 5, then the Lord says to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand this staff with you, which you struck the Nile, and go, and behold, I will stand before you on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink freely. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? If God is really with us, he ought to then be giving us some water. See, that's testing God. That's testing God. And a lot of times, we test God. Let me give you an example, such as, let's say, you used to drink, but you don't drink no more. And somebody say, well, now, if you really saved, you ought to be able to come on and go in this a bar with us. And if you really saved, then God ought to give you the power for you ought not want nothing to drink. See, that's testing God. That's putting yourself in a compromising position, and you saying, now, God, prove yourself to me. God said, I don't have to prove myself to you. Who, yo? Yeah. Yeah. No. See, God already done proved himself to you. Then you wake up this morning? Huh? God exists because you, I mean, can you breathe? Well, he already proved himself to you. Amen. And that's enough right there. That's enough. If you don't do nothing else today, he already done enough. Amen. Oh, boy. Amen. 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 Now, notice Moses called this place Massah and Meribah. You know what that means? Temptation and strife. Yeah. Moses, I ain't gonna ever forget this place. This the place. I'm gonna name this place Temptation and Strife. Temptation. This is where the people got into temptation and strife. Fight. They want to, I mean, they about to fight me here. All right. All right. Well, that was the second test. We moved to the third test. Ready for the third test? The war test. The war. W-A-R test. And the war test come when Amalek, verse number 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses says to Joshua, choose for us and go out and fight against Amalek tomorrow. And I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua said to Moses, and Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up on the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hands down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand was heavy. Then they took a stone and put under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported the hands of one on one side and one on the other side. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. All right, so this was the war test. They was attacked. Many scholars said they was attacked from the rear. Scragglers. Those scragglers was attacked. And Moses sent Joshua down there to fight. And notice the two wars, the two fights, the battle. There was a battle on top of the hill, and there was a battle in the valley. And the only way that they could win the battle in the valley, they had to win the battle on top of the hill. The battle on top of the hill is a picture of prayer. We win the physical battle when we win the spiritual battle. That's why prayer is essential. If you do nothing else, you need to be in prayer every day. That's why Jesus told his disciples right before he went to the cross, he said, you couldn't pray with me for 1 hour. All I needed is just 1 hour. Somebody needs some prayer partners to pray with me for 1 hour. But that is the most neglected thing in the church. Now, they say the average minister pray less than 2 minutes a day. Now, if the average leader in the church is praying less than 2 minutes a day, what do you think the average pew person in the church is praying? Hello, somebody. It's getting awfully quiet up in here. Amen. Amen. Oh, boy. Jesus said, could not you pray just 1 hour? And we're asking, can you pray a minute? In order to pass the war test, there needs to be prayer. There needs to be prayer. Now, I want you to notice something here. Notice the progression. Notice the progression. There's the hunger test. There is the thirst test. Then there is the war test. Amen. Amen. Now, notice when the war comes. Notice when the war comes. After they done fed themselves. They should be strong at this point. Let me tell you something. It's when you think that you stand. Take heed. Let you. It's at the point of comfort. It's at the point when your needs done been met that the devil comes in with a sneak attack. It's at the point where you think, well, we can make it now. Yeah, I got a job. My wife, did I tell you my wife is working now? So both of us working now. And then now it looked like the all just H-E-L-L take place. Hello, somebody. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever noticed that? It's at the point where you think that you are safe and secure and we can make it now. We're on easy street. The devil sneak up and attack you from behind. He ain't changed. Amen. Amen. And so that's, I want you to see that when things are going good in your life, you better start looking around. Yeah. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Because here come the devil. You know, Flip Wilson used to say, here come the judge, here come the judge. Everybody rise, oh, here come the judge, here come the judge. Hey, here come the devil, here come the devil. Everybody get ready, because here come the devil. You better be getting ready for him. Amen. Think about in the Bible. How many times the devil showed up after dinner, after food? Think about it. Adam and Eve, the first story, wasn't it? It was right after food. Amen. Amen. Esau and Jacob fell out over a bowl of stew. It was some food. Judas betrayed Jesus right there at the table, wasn't it? At Passover, Jesus said, whatever you got to do, go do it quickly. Food. People are often tempted and tested over the food. Y'all act like y'all ain't with me. Somebody ain't coming to the family reunion this year. Because they ain't paid them dues. These dues too high. Over the food, over the food, over the food. And then when somebody do show up, what they doing here? Did they send their dues in? They checking the books. They checking the books. They can't enjoy a family reunion now because somebody done showed up who didn't pay their dues. Hello, somebody. Why you in here by yourself? Everybody out here at the fish fry. I don't want no fish. Now, she was feeling real good, but she saw Rufus show up who didn't pay no dues. Rufus going, and him and his whole family is here. They got the largest family and didn't send one dime. They ain't none of my cousin. Hey, over the food, over the food. Amen. That flesh, and this is a picture of the flesh, of the flesh, of the flesh. All right. So we got the war test, the thirst test, the hunger test, final test, the wisdom from the world test. The wisdom from the world test. Every one of these tests, the first test is very obvious. The second test is somewhat obvious. The third test, you get hit from behind, blindside. And the fourth test you don't even really think about. Watch this. Look here at chapter 18. The Bible says, then Jephro, see, Jephro is in the Bible. Now, if somebody tell you to turn to the book of Jephro, you don't supposed to be open and saying, okay, he said, what book did he say? Book of Jeff. No, no, no. Now, Jephro is in the Bible, but not no book of Jephro. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, Jephro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people. How the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. And Jephro, Moses' father-in-law, took Moses' wife, Zipporah, after he had sent her away, and her two sons, of whom one name was Gershom, for he said, I have been a sojourner in a foreign land. And the other was Eliezer, for he said, the God of my father was my help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Then Jephro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife to Moses in the wilderness, where he was camped at the Mount of God. And he sent word to Moses, I, your father-in-law, Jephro, am coming to you with your wife and your two sons with her. Then Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down, kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they went in the tent. Then do some business. Now watch this. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, for all the hardship that had taken them out of the journey and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jephro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of Egypt. So Jephro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, from the hands of Pharaoh, who delivered the people under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods indeed. It was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. How I like that, because I'm coming back to it. Then Jephro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God. Underline that. And Aaron came out with the elders of Israel, and they ate a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came about the next day. Now, here's the good part. The next day, Moses sat down and judged the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until evening. Now, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that was doing for the people, Moses was doing for the people, he said, what is this thing that you do doing for the people? Why do you alone set as judge and all the people stand about you from the morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of the Lord, and when they have dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between the man and his neighbor and make known the stature of God and his law. And Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. Underline that. Underline that. We got to come back to it, but I got to read this story. Y'all with me? All right. You will surely wear out both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I shall give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people representative before God, and you bring the dispute to God. Then teach them the statutes and laws, and make known to them the way in which they walk and work that they do. Furthermore, you shall select out all the people, able men who fear God, men of truth, who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place them as leaders of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10, and let them judge the people all the time, and let it be that every major dispute that will bring to you, and every mountain they dispute they themselves with judge. So it will be easier, underline that, for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this thing, and God so command you, then you will be able to endure all the people had done. So Moses listened, underline that, he listened to his father-in-law and did, underline that, he did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them head over the people, leaders of thousands, hundreds, and tens, and judged the people all the time and the difficult dispute they brought to Moses. But every mount of dispute they themselves would judge. And Moses bade his father-in-law farewell, bye-bye, and he went his way into his land. Now we read the whole chapter. Now, was this a good thing or was this a bad thing that Jethro did? Many Bible scholars are split on this. Many Bible scholars are split on this. And for many years, I've always thought that Moses done a good thing here. But something is missing. Whenever there was always a problem, as you study the prayer life of Moses, whenever there was a dispute, Moses always hit his knees. Right here, we don't see Moses hitting his knees. And I began to investigate that. I said, now this is strange. Moses didn't pray. He just really went on. And the other thing too, Jethro never really became a part of the congregation of the children of Israel. And he was a priest of the Midian. They had another god. Now, Jethro is talking religious talk here. He said, oh, that's real good. He said, I see that your God is bigger and more powerful than all the rest of the gods. Now, that's religious talk if you're not worshiping God. See, he's going to go back home and worship his God. Where then is this advice coming from? Is God trying to make stuff, is he just trying to make stuff easier for you? Let me tell you something. As we read last week, God already done explored all the options. He knows whether you go north, south, east, or west, what's going to happen if you take the road to go north, what's going to happen if you take the road to go south, east, or west. And God is not always looking for the easy way. As we saw last week, God sometimes takes you the long way round. Now, let me show you something. Because whenever man makes an action, God reacts to man's act. There's always a response of God. And so I said, where's the response of God? How did God handle this situation? Look here in Numbers chapter 11. We have a little more details in Numbers chapter 11. Now, I don't know for sure if this the same story or is this a continuation of the story.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.